Mics are live.
Good morning, everyone. It is 10:02 on Tuesday, November 26th, 2019. I'm Commissioner Brian Krashas, joined by Commissioner Randy Chrisman and the portfolio holder, Commissioner Julie Fedorchak. I'm going to hand it over to you, Julie, but before we do our Commissioner Fedorchak.
Julie's fine.
Okay. Before, but beforehand, before we do that, we have staff introduce themselves for the record, please.
John Schuth, PSC.
Brian Johnson, PSC.
Patrick Fawn, Commission staff.
And also, is there anyone on the bridge line? If so, could you please identify yourself?
Hi, this is Tracy Davis, in-house counsel for NextEra Energy Resources.
Okay, anyone else on the bridge line? Okay, then.
Okay.
Ready to start.
All right, well, this work session was sort of came about because we had an order on the agenda, not the last meeting, but the meeting before, where we were set to, the order would have approved next, this citing approved what the company is asking for, basically recognizing that they're doing these changes and removing what the company wants is to remove the restriction on, or removing the threshold, basically, the cap or the total megawatts in from the order. Since then, and Commissioner Chrisman brought forward a suggestion that he was supportive. If I'm just going to restate this, Randy, you can correct me if I'm wrong. You were supportive in generally, but you wanted to keep the cap, put a cap into the order on the megawatt hours. Is that correct?
Not 100%, but. I think that's kind of what I said, but I don't think I stated it very well.
Oh, okay. Well, so then let me just finish, then we can go over to you to restate what you had in mind. Then in the last meeting, there was discussion about the construction that was occurring already, and we asked the company to provide context to what they're doing out there and how they felt it was in accordance with the law. And they filed, and I don't know if you guys had a chance to read it, but they did file yesterday a pretty lengthy response, which I thought was very helpful. So I thank you for that that timely response so that we can get through this matter in as quick an amount of time as possible. So with that, there's some things in that filing from yesterday that I think we need to discuss. But Randy, I think it might be easiest for you to start it off by saying what it is you had in mind for the final order.
Okay, so thank you for that. You know, in the big picture, and I don't know if right now my position on this might be inconsistent with some previous cases, but as we're getting more of these, I think things have developed to a point where we need to relook at how we've been handling them. So whatever that the footprint or reprint or whatever that change was whereby sited energy infrastructure could make certain improvements without going through a new siting process and really significantly expand their capacity. Since then, but my understanding is that they need to notify us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a separate set of discussions if there's impacts to avoidance or exclusion areas. So just assuming a narrow band here in cases where there's no avoidance or exclusion areas, the old orders used to, I think, almost always, if not always, have the capacity of whatever was being approved in the order. In light of that law change, we've been including it in the findings of fact, but then having in the order that it'll be built in accordance with the findings of fact, and recognizing that the findings of fact probably don't have the same weight under the law as the order. And I'm fine with that evolution in our orders. I think that's a good thing. But in those old, in cases where there's an upgrade that is going to occur or has occurred of older orders where the capacity was in the order, we've been going back and changing that. And that's what I feel is so wrong, because our original order is a moment in time based on a hearing and on other information that's late filed and those sorts of things, but based on a case, I guess is what I mean to say. And because a different law goes into effect that says they can do something else, that doesn't change what was heard in that case. And so I think our orders ought to be left, at the very least, if we are going to change the order, like in this case, I think then it should be added to the findings of fact that whatever the original capacity was, what is what was in the original case, and now in this case they said they're going up to the larger number. But even our notice of opportunity for hearing was 160.4 or something like that. So if we're going to change the order, then I think we should also change the finding of fact, and so that the new ones are consistent with what we've been doing. But really, right now, I'm not sure we, in cases where there's no exclusion or avoidance areas affected, I'm not sure we're not better off to just, and I'm going to quote from a letter that we received, the information that you talked about in the second part of this case as far as starting before we've done anything. And I haven't had a chance to exactly sit down with our own counsel, so I'm going to assume that the company's counsel is accurate here. Pursuant to Century Code, activities conducted wholly within the geographic location for which a utility has previously obtained a certificate or permit under this chapter do not constitute construction, because the activities do not constitute construction as defined in the statute. Astra Beulah Wind was within its rights to commence the improvement activities. If that's accurate, when they notify us, as they need to under the law, it seems to me that probably our appropriate move is to have staff acknowledge that we have received their notification that they are doing improvements under the section of Century Code. I'm just uncomfortable with every time something else happens, going back and changing our orders, because that's not what we heard in the, it's not based on what we heard in the case.
Go ahead.
If you said this, I apologize. I was flipping through the what came in yesterday. Does this constitute construction, or is this, you know, when turbines wear out, is that construction? When you replace a turbine, when blades wear out, is that construction? And to me, that's not so much on blades. To me, blades are, that's anticipated maintenance. It's going to happen. But when you replace a turbine, is that construction, or is that just, if it was the same size turbine, is it 1.5, the old ones?
Yeah.
So that's, you're right, 1.5 megawatt turbines. If they were just replacing them because they wore out, is that construction?
And this isn't something I necessarily have contemplated, Commissioner, but I would say that sounds like maintenance to me.
So what we're talking about is nameplate capacity, permit states versus what it would change to by putting larger turbines on.
This sounds like it is an improvement to the facility.
It all, if you look at this, the footprint law, and it, this is the footprint because it, we, I always think of it as we approved the footprint, and that's, and there the legislature's basically said, once that footprint, that boundary has been approved, companies can go in there and do stuff, and it isn't construction.
Right.
And that's what I think they're saying in their letter to us, and that's been my concern with what and where our rub comes in. Randy, I don't disagree with you. It's just staff and Alana and our staff has always pushed us to change the orders because they feel like the companies need to be in a compliance with the orders, and the orders are saying something different than what the law says. So I'm okay leaving the orders if that's something we can do. It's just that, that we've always been tripping over ourselves, it feels like, to make the orders consistent with what the companies are doing. And that's where I feel the rub is, but I could be wrong. And maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but that's where the rub feels to me. What Randy is suggesting is we just acknowledge this and move on. And what we've always been pushed to do is you got to change the order.
And just to be clear, now is the point where I don't want to lose track of the other complication. Like in this particular case, I think there's the additional thing, acknowledge this, but also we'd have to address the setback issues because there were some exclusion avoidance here. The issue
in this, so. That's kind of separate, but yeah. Or additional.
I guess for the purpose of clarification, at least we're, I think in the last discussion we had about this, I don't know if it was actually a wind farm, we've probably had a very similar discussion with different types of facilities over the years with the same issue with the certification documents. My position was, I mean, there's the orders, but there's the ordering provisions, and those ordering provisions are items that you guys have put in place as protections. And if you guys are going to lift those protections, that needs to be modified to remove it because they're certifying that they're going to follow along with the protections that our orders have put in place.
Okay.
If that gives some clarification, at least to where I was at.
So in this particular case, is the nameplate capacity in the ordering provisions?
It is. I believe so, Pat.
And are you objecting to taking that out of the ordering provisions, Randy, or are you saying you'd be okay moving it from the ordering provisions back into the findings of fact?
I do think it should be left so we just don't have to redo every one of these. Because if this is accurate, what I was reading from, that the new law trumps it, then I you don't know. But if Jack feels that it does need to be addressed, then I guess I am okay with changing the order. If we then add in that other line, put it in as a finding of fact so that it's clear. I think we need a record of what the case was that we heard and that we approved in the first place, not slowly with time washing all the details away just doing that, washing all the details away.
Yeah, so I guess I found this interesting. So on page 2 of their, I think this is where you were reading, Randy, on page 2 of the letter from yesterday, under Roman numeral 2, the third paragraph, with respect to the current certified capacity, an amendment to certificate number 7 or the underlying order is not necessary to allow improvement activities to commence. So is that the same as saying is not necessary ever? Or is it just they're saying here that they didn't need to change that before they could start constructing? Maybe it's the latter.
The megawatt cap? I'm sorry, there are a lot of issues kind of swimming around in this.
Do you want to get the page out that I just referenced?
Which page was that?
Page 2. Of the letter from yesterday.
I think what you stated there was correct. It doesn't require them to change anything to start, but because there's a cap in there, they're stating that we can get started, but we still need to address the cap issue. So it's not a matter of we don't have to abide by the megawatt capacity. It's just we can get started on that while we sort it out, I think. Okay.
And as they currently sit right now, they have not exceeded the megawatt cap.
Right. And it doesn't look, I mean, they've certified even that they won't, because they've got contracts that are capped out at 148.5 or something like that. But it obviously down the road they might so or want to, so they are envisioning, kind of want to get rid of it now as long as they're working on it, it sounds like to me.
I guess my position would still be that they could not make the improvement beyond against what you guys have expressly ordered, which is that megawatt cap. However, we have done the notice of opportunity, and that can be amended. Actually, it was ready to be amended and placed on the agenda that one day before it was removed, to remove that megawatt cap. So then, so say subsequently after remove that cap, they come in and say, actually, now we have a interconnection for 170 megawatts. I would assume then that if they did want to make that improvement then they would not have to come back. They would just need to provide a certification. There'd be zero amendment after that.
So is it both your positions that our order has to be amended? Because they're saying even in their original plan and in the original application, I don't know if you have that with you.
I don't.
But on page 2 of that, on the top of that, they say, because the certification procedures set forth in the law expressly contemplate and authorize activities that result in increases to facility capacity, Ashtabula Wind does not believe that the order and or certificate needs to be amended. And then they go on to say, however, in consideration of all your other previous procedures, Ashtabula Wind respectfully requests that you do what we've always done, which is issue the notice of opportunity for hearing and then change the cap or take it out. So they don't think that order needs to be changed ever. But we do.
If it's in the ordering provision, I do. And that's why we start removing that cap from the ordering provision. I think when this first came, we started doing that, and I think it was fairly new at that point in time. Mm. It was shortly after that footprint reprint law passed, and there was concern. So, like, well, we don't want this to get away from us. Sure, they can make improvements, but however, we do need to be able to look at this. And so as it was contemplated at that time, right or wrong, the commission put in these caps so that they would not be exceeding that, thinking if they came in here and even though planning and developing wise, it doesn't make sense to put twice as many turbines within a sited area, there was concerns that maybe they could do something like that. Mm-hmm. And so that was what that cap limit was for. So it was a protection put in place. When they're certifying that they're going to continue to follow all the applicable laws, rules, and commission orders and the protections that have been put in place. And that was a protection that was put in place as you guys had contemplated at that point in time. And so my position would be that that cap was there. We have to amend it to remove that. And you'll see there's probably only a span like 4 or 5 years where these orders were written like that before.
Yeah.
We realized with the changes that it's better not to put them in there.
Well, if that's your legal advice, then I will go along with this to remove that. But I really think it's imperative that we also add the information that we had originally and that came in on this one, that it's going to 160.4 into the findings of fact. Because I think we need a record of what we based our decisions on.
It's easily.
I'm comfortable with that too, and I think I'm very relieved because it's uncomfortable for me to set up a situation where our ordering provisions are contrary to what the law envisions. I don't like that. I just think that's the wrong way to go, and whether the legislature fully intended it to be as open as it is, I think that's an issue for the legislature to deal with, but it is very open. I mean, those provisions in 49.02.07 or 22.07 envision them being able to go into that footprint and do a lot. And I think that was intentional. And I don't like us putting in provisions in our orders that create barriers to that or require companies to do something different. I think we will get in trouble with the legislature for doing that sort of thing.
Sure. I guess maybe just to color it out a little more with the ordering provisions. For example, after at a hearing, you guys aren't only limited to those criteria that you place. If you find something else needs to be changed for whatever reason, you will order that in that provision as protection, maybe for one landowner, for this industry, for this item. And if they don't have to follow that, then,
right.
then it doesn't make any sense. If all I have to do is certify that they're going to go ahead and approve this, but
yeah.
it's an improvement even despite your order. And that's kind of where I'm coming back to.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure this is a circumstance, and there's going to be limited circumstances where this apply, because there was that limited time where I think we were putting this megawatt cap into our order shortly right. after this, the law was passed.
Although I would argue, so we put in something they have to put an underpass under this highway for someone's cattle.
Sure.
They have to follow that because the legislature hasn't changed that part. But if an old order contains the limit on the capacity of something, and since then the legislature has changed this, that they can exceed that capacity by doing improvements, then I think that it seems to me that lot supersedes the one order that we had on capacity. It doesn't supersede all our other orders.
Sure. I would say there's certainly an argument to be made for that. However, you guys have put these caps on quite a number of them since this law, which would indicate to me that you've interpreted this differently.
Okay. Well, bottom line, I think now I got kind of lost in this issue, but I think the order had the previously proposed order had the avoidance or exclusion areas taken care of too, right? There were some exceptions for those turbines that were too close to property lines.
That there was waivers.
Waiver.
Yeah, they received waivers on them.
So if we could add that findings of fact, then that would be an order that I would probably like to see at a future meeting.
Yeah.
The proposed order also addresses the changes that they're making to the nameplate capacity. Is that what you're concerned about?
Removes it from the ordering provision.
Yes, the one that removes
tell me
the cap.
Yeah.
Does speak to the nameplate capacities that were in the original order and the new nameplate capacity after the repower.
I don't understand what you just said.
Yes, it does. I think you, yeah.
The order that I'm looking at that I think was the most recent one proposed
yes.
in ordering provision number 3 restated it pretty much word for word, just took out the capacity and the number of turbines.
Right.
Can I ask?
So what was your question about that?
You were talking about there were certain things that you wanted to make sure were in this proposed order, in this draft order, and I think you were talking about I want to make sure that nameplate capacities are in there.
In that ordering, not in,
in the findings.
In the findings,
yeah.
I think they are. So I'll come, you know, I'll visit with you after the meeting and make sure that the order, the draft order, the proposed order meets your expectations.
Well, I had thought that a good solution would be to add the additional finding of fact. And then on this new order number 3, if you're looking at it, to make it consistent with what our new orders have been this year, and I didn't look at every single siting order that we had, but this is how we did Emmons-Logan, and this is how we did Belfouche Pipeline. If at the very end of number 3, after associated facilities, if you would change it instead of as identified in the application, if you would change it in accordance with the commission's findings of facts. that's the language we used in these other siting cases.
Well, are you setting up a situation where they have to come and change the cap again then?
I don't think so, because we've kind of deemed that the findings of facts are findings of facts that we had, but they're not, am I saying this correctly, Jack? They're not legally binding on the company.
I guess what I'm saying is that there wasn't a clear manner in which anyone has decided how this should be interpreted in with our laws, but I was saying it seemed to me the most reasonable way to interpret this was our ordering provisions are the protections that we put in place, and therefore they must be followed. The findings are what justify your conclusions of law and to actually the order to give them the site permit. And a lot of that is on the construction phase. And so, for example, they upgrade the megawatts, or the maybe they need to upgrade their safety plan or anything like that. Those are all things that they should be able to do. And whether it says in our findings that they only work with this one county, they decide to work with five counties, they should need our oversight to do that, is what I'm saying, to adjust those things. And those are all really in the findings that you based your order that this permit should be granted on.
But if we say in the findings that they intend to build to this level, and then in the findings of fact or in the ordering provisions, we say they're going to build it according to the findings. And in the findings, we say it's capped at 168. Then are we setting up the same thing or not?
Sure. And I can see the concern that you guys would have with that. And if it says they intend to, then it's probably not a big deal, because that was the intention at the time of the construction. But this is something we should be looking at when we're going in and modifying and amending these orders.
Well, and I
maybe we should just say that they'll construct it according to the findings of fact. Because once that construction comes in, every footprint alteration is not
a construction. There we go.
And I guess thinking about what you just said, to me, if it mentions the megawatt total in there, it might not be a cap, but it's just stating that's what it is. And if they're going to change that in the future, when they come in with their certifications, it's going to have what the new megawatt would be. And if we're acknowledging that and putting that into the findings of fact, then I think it addresses what you're asking, is tracking the different stages and how it's progressed, so that there's always a clear record. And it's part of it, but it doesn't. It's not a cap. It's just a statement of where that project is at that time.
That makes sense. It's taken us a long while to get through all this, but I think it's starting to be more consistent and in line with the
law. I hope people understand. This is a weird circumstance where we have authority for this siting, and then along the way, the legislature changed it. And well, once you cite it, then they can do a lot more than what it was talked on. And so how do you exactly handle that? And old orders are in conflict. And so I think once in a while, a person needs to step back and just see where you're at and if it's still being handled as it ought to be.
And I think with the megawatt cap issue, I think we have everything in place to fix this situation. And the company provided everything they needed to do in order to move forward with this already as well.
Okay. I appreciate the time that everyone has spent thinking about this and the extra filings from the company, because if this strikes me as an area of law where there could be some opposition down the road, and the every little word matters in how this stuff is written, and even using construction versus something else that doesn't have a legal definition in. I just think it could potentially cause us a lot of trip ups down the road if we get, if somebody opposes one of these orders or projects down the road. So,
and I think that day will inevitably come where these are a very limited size pipeline that we approved, goes in and upgrades and becomes a very large one and has a significant spill with a lot of damage, and people are like, how could you have approved this? Well, we approved kind of something else. Or in the case of as in this in a energy generation, if something evolves to the point, and it's certainly not going to happen because of 10 or 12 megawatts, but if in some of the wind farm sightings where we have left far more land in a siting boundary than what I think we ought to have, there could be a whole lot of additional generation capacity added. And if it causes congestion, then the costs for fixing the congestion get passed on to others. Something like that, I think, would be the ultimate catalyst of a future look at this wide openness for improvement projects.
Well, the congestion, though, isn't related to the siting certificate. That's related to the interconnect, which we don't regulate.
Right, but it will work people up with, okay, now there's congestion. Why did you approve a 1,000 megawatt wind farm here? Well, we approved a 100 megawatt farm there.
So I think we're done with that piece of it, but the setbacks, maybe just...
I'm not quite done.
Oh, go ahead.
How many turbines have been replaced so far?
I think it's 99.
No, replaced.
Replaced. Oh.
Yeah, that have been switched out with the 1.62.
I don't think we have that information.
And, well, that's the crux of the matter, though, isn't it? They have, well, it's the original application was 101 turbines. At 148.5 megawatt nameplate capacity, they're at 99 turbine. But if you take the difference, well,
they're saying in their application, and they reference it in this letter, that they aren't going to exceed the 148.5.
Okay, so
so that is kind of moot.
But if you have 99 operational turbines at 1.5, that's 148.5, and every time you change a 1.5, is it to a 1.62?
But the nameplate is different than what they're actually producing, and they're saying they're not going to produce more than 148.
Okay. But the order talks about nameplate capacity.
Okay, so if they put, right.
Not to exceed the nameplate capacity.
Right. It states that in the order. So let's just use an extreme. Let's say they were going from 1.5 to 3.0. Okay, and they had 99 operating at 1.5 to equal 148.5, right?
Right.
And you could switch out 10 of those. And again, I'm just using the larger number because it's easier to talk about it that way. So you've just added 15 megawatts, which if you add it to the 148.5, now you're at 163.5. Well, now they're past the nameplate. Just wondering, how can you upgrade these turbines without exceeding nameplate, even though they say, but we won't generate. It's not about what you can generate. It isn't about the nameplate or what you're going to hold generation at. It's about the nameplate, isn't it?
But the order had a higher nameplate. The maximum that they could have for nameplate was greater than 148.5, even by our order.
152, right?
Right. So they could put in a couple.
Right. That's why I'm asking.
But they're arguing that they can, the underlying order is not necessary to allow improvement activities to commence. That's their whole argument. They could start as soon as they notified us based on the law, they can start making the improvements. And I think, unless you guys disagree with their reading of the law,
even if that pushes nameplate beyond the permit?
Under current, what they provided to us is under the current construction status is currently capable of generating 138.66 megawatts.
So what's happened to the other turbines? Are they just taken down?
I don't know. I didn't say it in the filing.
They had to go somewhere.
I presume they're under construction.
That they're waiting on our approval to put the new ones
up. They've taken some down, taken the turbines down.
Possibly.
Well, once the cranes, and well, I don't know enough about retrofitting. I just don't know why you'd reposition the crane twice.
Sure. I guess I couldn't answer that
question. I guess on this site, I read this all as saying they don't, we put the nameplate capacity in there, in the ordering provision. They don't, they think the footprint law trumps that.
Sure.
And what they were required to do to be in compliance with the footprint law was to notify us that they're going to commence improvements, which they've done. And they certified the exclusion avoidance areas and all that business.
I think, at least from what I read of them, is that they push that, they submit that argument, and they also say, however, we're not violating it anyway.
Right, exactly.
And we're waiting for you guys, and we took the appropriate measures in case that isn't the way you want to look at this.
Just wondering how that's mathematically possible.
I guess I thought my understanding was is that when this project was done, it would exceed the nameplate eventually once it's completed. But what they're stating is at this point through their repower, they haven't reached that yet and that they're underneath it.
If you have 99 turbines, I'm not trying to be difficult about this, but if you have 99 turbines on the ground at a 1.5 megawatt, you know, per turbine, you're at 148.5. Now they can go to 152, right? But
sure,
you're only going to be, you know, you're going to, is it 1.62? Is that the right number?
Well,
yes.
So that's 0.12, a 0.12 increase, which would be 29.166667, whatever it is. Well, you can take the sixes forever, but call it 29.17 turbines. So you could switch out 29 of them and still be under the 152. If you go to 30, now your nameplate is greater than 152.
Sure.
Ever so, you know, by a very small amount, granted, but
right.
And maybe, and that's, I'm assuming that's the case they're making. We haven't switched out more than 29 of them.
Well, I think you're assuming that they haven't just taken a few offline. But,
right.
Well, what constitutes? Yeah, do you just disconnect it at the base and say, well, it's not an operation anymore?
Well, unless I misunderstand you, Brian, none of this matters if you follow the law. If you believe that our order trumps the law, then all of this matters. But if you follow what the legislature has determined to be construction, this isn't construction. So they don't need to go through these
calculations. Well, this is going to be a bad example because I'm trying to think of an example that's not related to a pipeline or a refinery. But let's just say a pipeline is authorized to move 100,000 barrels a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the permit.
Sure.
And they want to add pump stations to take it to 200,000 barrels a day. They could just start construction and do whatever they want within the footprint. Okay, go beyond the footprint. But they could do everything and then come in. Even though now it's capable of moving 200,000, but they can't operate at 200, and we'd be okay with them putting the pump stations in advance.
They could put those pump stations in and notify us, and if they're supposed to notify us that they're doing that, certify that they're not affecting any exclusion avoidance areas, and if they're within the footprint, they can go ahead. We don't ever have to prove it.
They just can't operate beyond it until they...
No, they can operate.
They can.
Even if the permit says 100.
Yes.
You're saying hypothetically if we put up a cap on the amount of... on how much can actually go through the pipeline and like expressly in our ordering provisions.
Just a question.
Sure. I mean, we can contemplate it, and I think it probably differs for every single energy conversion and transmission facility. I mean, there's certainly an argument to be made in that circumstance that they can make those improvements as long as they're not actually violating our order, which would be that capacity.
Granted, I don't look at this increase as being material overall.
Sure.
But in principle, what if it was times 10 or times 50 or whatever?
Sure. I think it would be easier to make to have this discussion when the facts were in front of us.
And if I understand the company's position and argument right, part of what they're arguing is that other facilities don't have this cap and don't have this problem, that a pipeline can do that because they don't have a cap, and that's why they want the cap removed, so that they're basically put on par with the rest of the generation facilities that can increase their generation capacity. And as long as they're within the footprint law, there's nothing to be said about it. And it seems, I think, part of their argument that is in this order, in this case, that this facility is being treated differently because of the nameplate capacity.
I am not going to agree with anything, any kind of a woe is me argument that, oh, we're getting treated differently than pipeline companies, because there's old pipeline siting cases where the barrels per day are listed in the order too. And if they want to expand, I presume we'd be in the exact same place changing that. So I don't think it's ever an issue of them being treated more poorly than other energy.
Sure. And I'm just pointing out that it seems like that's part of their argument. It's just a statement that it seems that there's that correlation being made by the company.
So we're good to go to the setbacks?
Yep. Yeah. That order grants an exception. What was the term? But it allows them to keep those turbines, even though they're closer than what we would probably approve nowadays, right?
Right.
The draft order says, yes, it does allow that, based on the waivers in part.
I think this is important, though, because staff asked during our meeting about the setbacks, and, the old – there's a number of old orders that were approved when the setbacks didn't exist. And so when companies come in for new projects that have the old setbacks, how should we deal with them?
Right.
And that's where we're at with this. And I think, did you guys agree with the company's interpretation that nothing in the Century Code allows us to no part of the code is retroactive unless it's expressly declared to be, or if retroactive intent can be implied. So we can't go back. We can't apply those new setbacks to an old order, even under a repower.
In consideration of the impacts to the potentially to exclusion or avoidance areas, right?
Yeah. On the setbacks.
On setbacks, yeah.
So to answer your question, I don't know about all the legalities of whether we could or not. I think it would be wrong to go back and change one and apply those new standards mm-hmm. to this old case. And now I found my page. And yes, so there's six variances from the roadway, on the roadway exclusion. And it looks like three from on the non-participating landowner mm-hmm. exclusion. So I see now that they are in there.
Okay. So are you guys comfortable with what this being our method moving forward on setbacks?
I know Brian and I had a couple of discussions, but I think you put a little more time into this. I kind of read it through this morning real quick before this.
Okay.
So
Brian?
I'll let Brian have some.
I guess my initial thoughts on it are this. I don't think that we can say, because there's a new exclusion area, you have to take down that tower. I think there becomes a point, though, where, and I just relate to, say my house. My house is built. They put in new parameters. My house is kind of grandfathered in, but that's my house as it stands. I can change the siding. I can remodel the inside. I can do all kinds of things. But if there's a new variance or a new restriction on the height of a building that's put in, and I want to add three stories to my house, I think at that point I'm subject to the newer restrictions, even though my house was built prior to those restrictions existing. So does the tower as it exists, are they able to put new blades on it, put the same size turbine on it, same height, same everything? I think they can do that. I think if they're going to change those as far as height or other things, I think we're getting into an area where it opens up maybe I don't know that you fully can say, well, the setback applies, now you have to tear it down, but I think it might restrict possibly, and like I said, this is just a initial thoughts on this, but might be open to a little bit more regulation as to remaining same size, same turbine size, same parameters as existed before. Mm-hmm. It's going to get bigger than maybe there's got to be some sort of variance or procedure built in to address that and look at them on a case-by-case basis.
And that is a really good point. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of a transmission line now. You know, we could cite a 230 kV line with whatever size structures or the commission could have a long time ago and had it pretty close to someone's house. Now new standards probably wouldn't even allow it that close, but they've kind of lived with it this long. And now all of a sudden they come in and want to make it a much larger transmission line or add another one, and the structures are way taller. And yeah, I think you make a good point, Brian.
I agree. So the waiver is probably the start of a variance procedure.
Well,
we probably need to think through or be consistent with moving forward.
There is a variance, I believe, in place for transmission, I remember, but I don't believe that there's anything in for any generational facilities. And I think that was in contemplation of those concerns for transmission specifically.
Yeah. Yeah, because these towers could be huge, and somebody who was fine with it back in the day, and all of a sudden the blades are twice as long. That's a big difference.
Right.
I mean, twice as long is probably not possible, but...
Sure.
Okay.
Ever? It probably is possible.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the towers get bigger, I guess.
That's where this...
Okay, so are we okay with this approach for this one with the waivers? Do we need to bake that into the new order at any point? Like more specifically that the commission finds that because of the waivers that this isn't acceptable to encroach on that the new setbacks or something to that effect?
I don't know that there's an official... I think part of the problem is there isn't anything... a waiver process built into the rules or law as it exists. So I think that is an acceptable way to move forward on this. And probably the only way to deal with it at this point.
Mm-hmm. It probably enhances the need for keeping our findings of fact updated when we change these, because let's just say in this case, I don't know if we ever got information, how much longer these blades are. But it can't be much. Well, from
I believe it was in somewhere
small.
Yeah, it is.
But let's say a whole different case where they come in and have a relatively small turbine there, mm-hmm. and upgrade it to a much, much larger one with a taller hub,
sure.
longer blades, and everything. Then it might. Not be so easily waived, and if they just do it, then it might be important then that what they had applied for in their not really applied for, but what they had certified to us, it might be important how what they said they were going to do.
I think one thing that may be useful and for us to consider for future rulemaking is putting a variance in our rules. I know I brought that back a while back, but we really weren't contemplating repowering at that point in time, and everyone didn't really have an interest in touching it at the time. But it would be good to consider, because there are a lot of questions around this, including and we were talking, is a lot of this isn't abundantly clear, because this footprint or reprint, these changes didn't contemplate this situation at all. And so when they have to certify in writing that they will not affect any known exclusion or avoidance areas, I don't think they're saying any new. It wasn't only necessarily contemplating old exclusion avoidance areas. If you're going to build a new pipeline, then you come up across a cultural artifact, you're going to have to treat that as an exclusion area, whether we're citing that or not with the certification. So it's just kind of a unique circumstance, and makes it difficult to really apply it probably in exactly the framework that they gave us. And if you look at the vast majority of these, it's not a big deal with participating landowner. They have the variances for that. The only one that would probably be any sort of concern would probably be the roadway that I'm thinking of, because that was the newer exclusionary that we provided in there. But I would note, even with that, though, if I was thinking about 10 minutes before I walked in here about whether we've ever done this in the past, would provide some sort of variance. And I think maybe Pat has a little better memory than I do, but we did with Meadowlark. Remember when there was that violation and they had already started constructing these items. There were some that were so far up that they took them down, and we looked at them and we agreed that those absolutely had to be taken down. One of them, right. The other ones were barely encroaching in that area, and we did allow a variance of those with approval of
DOT
and whoever was the concerned party in that circumstance. And so, I mean, that's worth considering as well.
Yep. I think it's a really important area. We should probably get going on it. And it'll be good to have rulemaking if that's probably the way to go, right, through the rulemaking.
I think it may be helpful.
And then we can have a conversation with industry, and, I think it would be helpful. Okay, but for this one, I just think it's important, just because if other companies are thinking about repowering, which they probably are, if we memorialize how we dealt with it in this one somehow so they can see what we're thinking in this order, that would be helpful as it relates to the setback issue.
And I think another thing that we should point out, I mean, not necessarily in orders or anything like this, but the whole point of the certification documents are for us to look at them.
Yeah.
And to determine whether this is still safe for the environment and the people. And of course, those waivers and variances indicate that it more than likely is in these circumstances. And so we should be looking at these as they're repowering, so it doesn't get out of control, because there may be a circumstance with our continuing jurisdiction that we may have to intervene in a case to protect some sort of interest if needed.
Okay. All right. So Pat, will you work with Jack and the rest of us get that order? That it's probably pretty close, but it probably needs a couple tweaks, and I can help too.
You have copies.
Copies of what?
Of the draft order.
It's got to be in the...
I'm sure I can get it to you. I'm sure they're in my email somewhere.
And it would be good to get this one on the next agenda.
December 18th. The 18th?
The
3rd?
The 3rd. Okay. Anything else?
I think there is one more lingering issue.
Oh.
That is we were asked at a recent press conference about the already initiated activities on Ashtabula. And so as part of reaching, I think, where we're at here and handling the order, we've talked about, so their assertions are, I think, really three. One, that they notified us, and so they really didn't need approval. Two, they have not yet exceeded the capacity anyway, and we've discussed those. But the third one is they're saying that they had discussions with commission staff that improvement activities had been ongoing. I wasn't aware of that. Do we dispute that, or is...
No, we did discuss, Casey did indicate that they were working on the wind farm and, you know, doing the repower work. But it wasn't, I don't think it was too long ago that we had that discussion, maybe 3 weeks ago. So.
And so was it your feeling at the time then that this was just that they had notified us and so in that regard it was covered, or that it was because they were under that threshold, they hadn't exceeded that threshold yet, or what was staff's plan for this?
Well,
had we not been asked about it last week?
I can't remember if this was before or after the meeting where I had drafted the order. The order
so you thought the order was just going to...
The order was for November 7th. I was working on it already. And the order would have lifted the cap and also would have said, in relation to the setbacks, it would have said, well, we have these waivers. And so this was the answer.
Okay.
To that. But there was still that concern about whether they should have started.
Okay.
And our verification that they haven't exceeded is just, they said they're not, and that's what we're going with?
Have they said that they haven't exceeded the nameplate capacity?
I believe so.
They gave us a megawatt limit that was about 138 megawatts.
48.5.
That's generation, though.
A generation.
That's not nameplate.
Sure.
Right.
I don't know that we have any information that would indicate they've stayed below the nameplate, maximum nameplate capacity that was in the initial order.
That's important.
No, it isn't.
It isn't if you agree that the legislation trumps it.
Yeah.
And they believe that, so they went ahead.
They believe that they met the requirements under the law to
right.
commence these improvements.
Right.
It only matters in that circumstance, and then we would have to look into and find the actual technical details of where they are in the construction for on top of that, if that is something that is a concern.
So the answer then is it's a moot point because we can put nameplate capacity on orders all day long and it doesn't mean anything.
I think I stated the opposite of that today. But I think in this specific circumstance, if you're asking us to go and ferret out those details, we probably could if this it matters to you or if this is a concern of yours. If you find that it's necessary.
Not in this facility. I don't find it a concern, but I can think of instances where it would be potentially concerning.
Sure.
Well, I mean, I think we need to be on the same page at some point about how we're interpreting the law,
right.
the print law, and what we're expecting of companies.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're giving mixed signals. Mm-hmm. And somebody, I mean, if we are going to push it, like say we were to push it on this case, well, I'm sure that they'd be happy to push it too. And then we'd get an outside opinion on whether our order or the law stands as the final test. To me, I don't think that's a fight I'm willing to fight. I think that they make the argument that they notified us, they followed the provisions of the law, and they're well within their rights to do what they're doing. So, but if you two wanted to pursue that, you could go your own way.
I think we've reached a pretty good place here with, I mean, I wish we didn't need to, but I think, you know, in making it work as well as possible for industry, the citizens, for us, for the companies, for everybody, I think that probably the right solution is on these old ones. We can change these orders and get that capacity out of there, add it to the findings of facts. So we have a good record of what we had, to whatever value our decision was, what it was based on. And I don't know. We haven't received any evidence that they have done a violation. No transmission company has complained that there's more energy coming on and causing problems. I don't know what we would base a case on that they violated it.
So just for the purpose of clarification, I want to make sure we're on the same page that we're going to take off the megawatt cap. We're going to memorialize it in the findings of fact of what it was, and that we're going to accept the variances that have been provided in approving the changes. Okay.
That's my understanding. Okay, I don't have anything more, Brian, Mr. Chairman.
I don't for the group.
Okay, well, so this is going to be an order coming on. If you have something else, let's talk about it now so we get it worked out and don't have to come back to another work session, because this is one of those that's kind of tied up with three things for this company that's waiting.
I don't need anything else on this.
Okay. All right.
Okay, we are adjourned.